You're listening to The News Project for the week of March 9th, 2020, brought to you by GNAT TV. This week's podcast brings you these stories. Coronavirus's do's and don'ts. Weatherization works for comfort and savings. And Manchester takes steps to adjust to the coronavirus.
After weeks of watching the coronavirus, or COVID-19 as it's known, wreak havoc in China, Korea, Japan, Iran, and Italy, the virus arrived in Vermont last week, in Bennington County. The state, along with the rest of the nation, is bracing for the arrival of more cases, and hospitals are ramping up to prepare. The Southwest Vermont Medical Center has opened a drive-up test site and say they have a sufficient supply of test kits on hand. So we reached out to Dr. Thomas Sterling, Manchester's deputy health officer, who is one of the principals at Manchester Urgent Care.
Yeah, so COVID-19 is a virus like most other viruses, and similar to influenza, at the moment it's spread by respiratory contact and droplets. What we're seeing now is that the likely spread would be a one person to one person. So if one person has a disease, they're likely to spread it to another person, unlike things like chickenpox, where, for example, it's one to five people. So we're seeing a one-to-one ratio of that, and it's really spread mostly by respiratory contact, i.e. you cough or you have the virus on your hands, you put it onto something, someone else picks that up. So some of the symptoms that people might notice would be a shortness of breath. They may notice that they are experiencing what we call malaise, which is basically if you're coming in to say, I feel sick, I feel worn down. And also they may have a fever. So we will look at fever, we look at respiratory symptoms, shortness of breath, and then we look at malaise. Exactly. So if you feel that you may have COVID-19, you should call your primary care doctor. When you call your doctor, they're prepared in this area to answer your questions, to screen you over the phone. And if you are deemed to be indeed significantly likely to have a disease, they'll recommend how you're to be treated or even tested first and then treated. Well, at the moment, I think this. I think that a self-quarantine is a very conservative approach. In other words, if you think you may have this disease, then yes, quarantining yourself for 14 days would establish you as being safe and not giving this virus to another person. So who should quarantine themselves? Well, what I suggest is that if you think you may have the disease, you call your primary care doctor. They will then recommend if you should be treated, tested, or if you should simply be in quarantine. If you were to come into the Manchester Medical Center here, we would assess you. And if you did have shortness of breath, and you had a fever, and you had malaise, and you felt ill, and we deemed that it was appropriate to look for a virus, we would do an influenza test here for influenza B and A. We would also look for RSV, given the fact that we're looking for coronavirus as well. And if you were negative with both of those, we would then be looking at the coronavirus if we thought it was appropriate.
For the GNAT TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever. By now, you've all probably heard the term weatherization. Sealing up those annoying and eventually expensive drafts in places where your home isn't sealed up quite as perfectly as it could or should be. Many homes in Vermont are aging and leaks and drafty spots are emerging. Or maybe the house wasn't built with an exacting eye for tightness in the first place. Insulating a basement and an attic, along with those leaky windows, can be a quick route to making a home warmer and more comfortable, without turning up the heat and burdening your fuel bill. Right now, Efficiency Vermont, the state utility that specializes in energy conservation, is offering some attractive rebates and incentives to help homeowners finance a weatherization project. Whether you're a do-it-yourself kind of person or prefer to hire a licensed contractor for your project, that money, which you can receive at the back end when a project is completed, can help manage an expenditure that will pay for itself in the long run. So we reached out to Bill Morrissey of Weatherization Works, based in Paulet, Vermont, to walk us through some of the steps.
So in most homes, you'll find that there's very little insulation, particularly in a basement foundation wall. And it's a real important area to treat, just to conserve your heat energy. And I would argue just to improve comfort. So if Vermonters take on these challenges, and in this instance, we remove some insulation from a box sill, which is where the wood frame is sitting on the foundation wall. And we removed that material, and then we insulated with closed cell spray foam. So this material is spray applied. You can see that it's all over the wood surfaces and down the foundation walls. It's installed at 3 inches thick. It air seals and insulates, and the material works tremendously in an area where it's cold and damp. It's a fantastic insulation for basements. It's very difficult to do this work not using a product like a spray-applied foam. There are other insulations, but this gives us an air barrier and a much-needed insulation layer that is durable and will seal out the cold and insulate a really important portion of the foundation wall. You might notice that it doesn't extend fully down to the floor, and that's because the biggest bang for the buck is going to be the above grade portion of the foundation wall and then a little bit below grade. So we're typically treating the top 4 feet of a foundation, and that's where the low-hanging fruit is, really. And it's in most homes we go to. There's very few homes that we'll find that this is adequately insulated. So, as we heat air, it's rising up through the shell of the home and exiting through the roof. So it's most important to seal the attic. So treat your attic first, and then a basement, and you'll put the home in a much more neutral pressure plane where you're not forcing so much heat energy out of the house and subsequently dragging cold air in. It isn't rocket science. It just can be very difficult to do this work. You're often in the worst parts of a home where... In this project, there's a hot air furnace, and an important area to treat, to seal, is to brush on mastic sealant to coat the joints. This is the first coat. There'll be another one. You can see it's still a little wet, but it's a mastic sealant that'll allow this joint to expand and contract as it heats, and it will also help seal that joint because it's important to deliver the heat energy where you want it. You've heated this hot air. You don't want it dumping into the basement willy-nilly, and you also don't want the return air from the furnace pulling from this location, this zone. This isn't the best air in the house, and you really want to pull it from the living space and not from this area. So we try to mastic seal the ductwork so that it better performs and delivers the heat where you want it.
We also had a chance to talk with Jim Goodine, a retired building contractor with more than 40 years of experience in home construction, about why making a push for heating efficiency makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, we try to look at, when we do a home energy audit, we try to look at all of the factors, all the way from the attic all the way down into the basement, around the outside. We looked at health and safety issues, and then we try to make an analysis based on the information and the data that we collect, including installation of the blower door to find out how much airflow, how leaky the house is. And we look through all of that information, and in our case, we would always organize it like a list of the items that could be done on the basis of return and how expensive they are. For instance, one of the first items is usually putting gaskets on all the electrical outlets. It's cheap. It's something a homeowner can do, and it's pretty effective. Very effective. And then down the list until we get to things that are expensive, like, for instance, windows. Windows are a big item, and they are promoted by window manufacturers, but the payback on them is very, very, very long, and often it makes more sense to try to weather strip those windows rather than replace them. Yeah, the housing stock in Vermont is old for the most part. And what we see in villages is that the giant old homes are getting converted into multifamily housing. And if the tenants are paying their own heat, there's very little incentive for the landlords to upgrade those buildings. That's a sad situation, although some landlords are doing a great job with it. I think that that it's a big challenge for people doing energy work to get into some of these older houses. For instance, much easier to insulate a poured concrete foundation than it would be to insulate a stone foundation. Stone foundations are leaky, and they're one of the first things we have to hit when we get on the job. An area that's vulnerable to leakage in every single house is around the sill area, where the concrete foundation or the stone foundation meets the sill area, meets the floor. It's probably one of the first areas that gets done in every house. Crawl spaces are horrible. They're a miserable place to try to get everything sealed up, because you really can't get at a lot of it. Maybe you have about 3 or 4 inches of headroom when you squeeze in there. And fortunately, one of our spray foam guys is a small guy. He will get in there and he'll do his best. But you can well imagine those additions with crawl spaces were not built up to the standard of the original house. They have a very loose foundation, and pipes are all in there for the kitchen addition or bathrooms, whatever they put into that addition. And trying to get at it is no fun.
But time is running out. The rebates and incentives on offer from Efficiency Vermont won't last forever. Right now, you can get a 50% rebate on projects that cost up to $2,000, and that rebate of $1,000 will be available probably through to the end of the year. But if your project is one that costs upwards of $4,000, your 50% rebate, or $2,000, will probably expire sometime later this spring. The rebates are capped at $2,000 per project, so anything above $4,000 will still only yield a $2,000 rebate. For more information about what kinds of projects qualify for rebates, as well as a list of certified contractors, you can visit Efficiency Vermont's website at efficiencyvermont.com. For the GNAT TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever. With the coronavirus still topic A in most places, we reached out the other day to Dr. Thomas Sterling, the town's deputy health officer, for some guidance on do's and don'ts. You'll be able to watch that segment either on air or online at gnat-tv.org. But we also had the chance to speak with John O'Keefe, Manchester's town manager, about some preparations the town is making to minimize the impact of the virus. In addition to the precautions many of us have heard recently about washing hands and being sensible about working when you may not be feeling 100%, the town is taking steps as well, the town manager said.
So we're looking at it from two angles. The first one is a continuation of government. So we have some essential services that we need to ensure are continue to be provided for the public. Our water and sewer plants are of the utmost importance. The sewer plant and the water plant need to be tended to each day. So we're looking at that. Police department, fire department. So we're putting together continuation of government plans at that level. For example, police department is taking steps to make sure that they're not, for example, they typically escort the rescue squad to medical calls, and we're backing off of that right now unless it's necessary in order to limit their exposure to anyone that might be sick, so that we can continue to provide those services. We're also cataloging employees that have EMT and paramedic training. We have a couple of employees that have that training in case we need that. And then the other piece is helping to manage the emergency that may or may not occur locally, for quarantine people that might be dropping off food to those folks, making sure that people have the resources to self-quarantine if that's necessary. And of course, just the general outreach to people. We met with our deputy health officer yesterday, large group in this room, a couple select board members were there as well. And we got some instructions from Dr. Tom Sterling about what is the virus, really an in-depth briefing for critical town employees. I think one thing that came out of it is, to some extent, you can't wash your hands enough.
At the Manchester Select Board meeting held Tuesday, March 10th, Select Board Chairman Ivan Beatty also added a few comments.
But I don't have any official report coming out of that meeting, but we had a really good, serious discussion. I will say that Dr. Tom Sterling, who was a part of the committee, is a good person to have at the helm of this because he has a great understanding of what it is, and he's in the medical field. I will say for people that are watching, if you suspect that you might have been exposed or may have symptoms, don't go to the emergency room. That's not the proper protocol. Call your primary care physician. If they are unavailable, call the hospital. Both Bennington and Rutland Regional Hospitals can test. They do not want you to walk into the hospital if you suspect that you may have coronavirus. They will come to your car. So
you have to have a doctor's orders.
But you can't just drive down there. If you cannot get a hold of your primary care physician, you can call the hospital and they will tell you what to do.
The full impact of the virus is yet to be determined, but two other areas to watch would be schools and businesses. If it's determined that schools need to adjust their schedules, and locally at least, that's not been the case so far, but this is a fluid and shifting situation that changes from day to day, we'll be following those announcements as well. Longer term, the impact on the region's and state's travel and tourism business sector is one we'll also be looking at as the course of the COVID-19 virus plays itself out. For the GNAT TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever.
Thanks for listening local. For more local content, visit GNAT.tv.